All right. Well, Devesh, welcome to Tabby Hour. Glad we could make this work. Two different time zones, but technology is an amazing thing, isn't it?
It is. It is. That's how we are all able to communicate with all that COVID going around. And it's great to be part of technology. And being in this industry, it's always a relief that we have the technology to deliver things. So awesome.
For sure. So let's dive right into it. You work for A3 Logic, which is the company that's helping make Tabby a reality. So kind of walk through what your role is there, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So, Brett, as you remember, we spoke a few months back, and I was one of the first people that you were able to speak with A3 Logics. So, when it comes to my role at A3 Logics, I am the person who handles the sales at A3 Logics. On top of that, I also handle the key accounts. So some of the bigger accounts at the company, I handle those, and sales is obviously the primary thing that I do. In addition to these two functions that I do, I particularly love developing product, particularly love contributing my ideas towards the team, and that love has helped me do a lot of sales. I'm able to interact with people, I'm able to help understand the goals that we want to achieve together, and then prioritize them. So one of the best thing that I like about my job is to be able to help people. And that's something I've been enjoying for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, and you've been very helpful for Tabby as we've kind of navigated through ideas. And what would you say the percentage of people that come to you, what's the level of progress that comes to A3 Logic? I mean, is it a napkin drawing and you guys turn it into a reality? Or do people generally come with a pretty clear product roadmap and go from there?
So this varies. Like, you know, we work with startups as well as with enterprises. So when we work with enterprises, we have pretty big laid down plans, even for years ahead of when even we're going to start. And then we are sometimes working with startups. They won't even know what the next step is going to be, but they have an idea, they have a vision, and they want to achieve it. So we have worked with both of the clients, and I'm going to tell you this, that it's more fun or more challenging when you are working with a startup, because you don't know what is going to be the next step, and you just want to make it a success. There is a time factor. There is a challenge when it comes to, market time and the competition. Obviously, they get a wind of what you are doing. Somebody else is going to roll out another Tabby. So there's always this thing. Yeah. So it's always fun.
So how did you end up at A3 Logic? What was that? Where'd you start at?
So I did my engineering. I started doing my engineering when I passed out the junior school. I was always fascinated towards computers. I started doing engineering, and then once my engineering was completed, I was fascinated towards product development. So even during my engineering, I was working with a couple of my friends, and we were working a lot of different product ideas. And during our projects and seminars, we will present different ideas. We would just kind of always looking to solve problems out. And that landed me a job as a business analyst at first. And then growing into the role of a business analyst, I started doing more into product owner role. And then gradually I shifted from product owner to product consultant and then to sales. So I grew from a business analyst to a product owner to a product consultant and then to a salesperson. So that's why when I try to sell, I try to understand the problem as a product. And that's how it all works out. So that's how I've grown through the journey.
What was one of the first conversations we had was an idea that you had years ago that was similar to Tabby, and you guys pre-Tinder, wasn't it?
The tagline that we use for that, it was somewhere like 11 years back, the idea that we discussed about. That idea, when we were discussing it, we were in the middle of a mall, and we were discussing just friends hanging out, and we were just fresh out of the college and just discussing if there could be a way, a location-based swinger application. That's what we were talking about, and we thought, sounds great, but its market in India maybe 3 years or 4 years after this would be a market. So let's do it 2 years after, right? That's what we pushed it back a couple of years back. And then 2 years later, we didn't do it, and Tinder did. So, you know, so it's what it is. Like, you know, if you don't do it, somebody else is going to do it. Your mind is not unique. We learned that lesson. What you are thinking, many people around the globe are thinking similar lines. So you should not wait. If you have an idea, you implement it. Without good marketing, it could still fail, but at least you will have, you know, some satisfaction that you roll it out for people to decide. So that's what we learned.
And that's, I think, the reality for any, I mean, ideas are like raindrops. They fall all around, and it really comes down to who's gonna collect the raindrops and either store it as potable water or turn it into energy. Everything in product development comes down to execution. Who's going to take that idea and execute? Tinder did it. It's interesting to kind of study the, and there's a lot of VC money going towards dating apps right now. Tabby is not a dating app, though it is social, and I think it'll be used as in a dating way sometimes. But it's interesting to see people are tired of Tinder. So 10 years ago, Tinder was the hot new thing. Now people are kind of getting tired of the swiping. They're looking for something new, but they're still consumed with the technology.
There, I mean, people will always find new ways to interact with people, right? I mean, they're fascinated by new things. So when Tinder came along, it reduced some of the efforts. It reduced people to go outside, and it in turn made them a lot more dependent on technology than they would like to, right? So now they might be looking for something that could help them do it, you know, to a fresh way around. And that's how technology evolves. Technology is built on what people are really looking to get solved, right? The founders, the co-founders, the technology people, all of them are looking to solve problems. Some of them are looking to solve problems that don't even exist right now, right? They are just looking to solve it for the future. So that's how we are all working around here. We as a technology partners, Atrialogics, have always worked with certain co-founders and co-founders to solve problems of today and tomorrow. You, as a founder, you would want to solve a problem that you see right now, and you would see that this would how you would add value to your customers. So that's all we are doing, trying to achieve when we are trying to do it. But yeah, you're saying you're absolutely correct, and you know, this changes. People want to have new things every few years.
You said something interesting. There's a lot of people with a solution looking for a problem. Right. There's a lot of people that have spent money to build something that fixes a problem that nobody has. And that's, I think that's kind of, as we go to market with this and try to establish product market fit, it's a clear pain point. Every time I go out, I feel like it's kind of funny, man. Sometimes it feels like living in the future, because you see a problem that maybe everybody doesn't feel every time. I mean, closing a bar tab is a pain. Waiting for the check in a restaurant is a pain. And that 8 to 10 minute transaction process of laying my card down after I get a receipt, that then the back and forth in the service industry, it's a clear pain point, but it's really not. I mean, people aren't angry about it. It's just the way society is. It's until they know a better way, they don't know any better.
They don't. And that's the beauty of it, right? Like, you being a founder, you have an eye for something, you found a problem, and now that problem is unique to you. Even if you try to explain some other people that this problem exists, this is how I could solve it, and this is how my app would help you do better, they might not be able to understand it. That's the beauty of having this eye for problems. They won't understand it. And then once you have done it, once you have solved a problem and they see, oh, it saves 10 minutes. Wow. Like, it's saving almost, like, you know, almost 20 hours of time over a week's time or something. Like, it's awesome. So until you found a better way to do things, people won't even know it exists. And this has happened with us a lot of times. Like, people would never find, they think what they're doing is the optimal way of doing things. That happens with a lot of people. And if you show them there could be a more optimal way, it takes time to grow on them, right? But yeah, when it does, that's when you have your audience and that's when your product is getting successful. So that's the time.
It's interesting. Timing has a lot to do with it as well. As we come out of, you know, people have been somewhat reclusive for 2 years. So people have lived in their news feeds. The way they meet is they match and then they text. So think of the dating process, just the way of meeting people today. You probably connect on LinkedIn in the professional world. You probably connect on some sort of dating app in the personal world. And you then have a process of vetting that person, which takes time. And then you have a text or phone conversation. And then maybe a week or two later, you're going to meet up and actually come to find out they maybe don't look like they did in their picture. And maybe, you know, there's different things that happen. So that's another piece where the tagline "meet people, save time." We're saving time in the tab closure process. We're saving time in deciding where to go, but we're also saving time when you meet people around you, because if I send somebody a message across that's in the same room as me, I can then have an instant human connection that started with a digital introduction.
Indeed.
And it humanizes it.
Right. And that's how, you know, everybody needs an introductor, right? I mean, most of the time, most of the friends or most of the dating starts with the first introduction. Like, how you would ask most of the people at their marriage, at their wedding, or when they're meeting with couples, it starts like, I was introduced by a common friend. So that common friend could be Tabby.
The wingman.
Right?
The wingman.
I mean, wingman could be, but I would say the common friend right now. Like, wingman could be a thing. But I would say, like, that common friend for the introduction of going around, that could be Tabby, like your friend.
Your
so that
sidekick.
Is how you could say that as well. Like, it is whatever you want it to be, right? That's the beauty of Tabby. Like, it could be whatever you want it to be. The power is in your hand, how you want to use it. You could use it to start a single conversation as a hello. You could start it by buying a drink to somebody, or you could start it in a different manner by just approaching them because they are there. So it would vary as a person, as an individual, how they would want to use it. So as you said, like, you know, Tabby is what you make of it. We have the technology, we have the people who are building it the right way, and now it's as per the end user how they want to use it. And people have different personality, so they would use it as they see best fit for their purposes. But
and
yeah, our product...
That'll be interesting as we test the, you know, we're kind of in the going into the beta test process of, I think we've done, from a user Q&A standpoint, we've done an extensive amount with the interactive prototype. And so I feel really good about the user interaction and user interface and user experience. But you're absolutely right. It'll be interesting to see how people use it, and we'll learn from that. And I think one of the guys from Y Combinator said it best, is like, you build something and put it into the world, and then you realize that people are hacking your product to do something else with it. Don't get mad. Listen to them and evolve. And
that's
pretty,
very
that's
important.
Pretty paraphrased. But yeah, learning from your user.
Right. I mean, and that's what we promote, right? Even remember during the first conversation that we had when we were discussing about Tabby, I told you we always prefer to have beta testing while we are developing the product. Because if we listen to our users, they are the people who would be using the product. Being a founder, being a tech developer, we would always want to do things the right way. But right way is not always the best way to go about when it comes to your users. You have to listen to them. You have to understand the things that they want to happen and the way they want it to happen. Certain things, I would find that a button would be better, but they would want to do a swipe action. And that's, if they want it that way, we need to listen to them, because at the end of the day, they are the ones who are going to use the product. So beta testing is extremely helpful for determining all those feedback and then putting it and rolling out for the users and then notifying them, we listen to you, we are here for you, and we will stay there for you to make sure that you continue to use our product.
Well, and it's it's showing the user that you're going to continue to bring value. So
indeed,
I mean, you as a product guy at a development company, you know, the old, you know, giving the user transportation from point A to point B, you can't build them a car day one, but you're not just going to give them a wheel that's useless. You're going to still get something. Here's a skateboard. It's going to get you from A to B. Now here's a bicycle to get you from a little faster. You know, so finding the thing that solves the problem for the customer on day one and then continuing to bring value over time. And it is unique with Tabby because we have multiple different kinds of customers. We have the actual end user. We also have the bar owner and restaurant owner that we're solving a different problem for them. We're helping reduce their payroll cost because there now needs to be less people in a time of staffing crisis and through the pandemic, there needs to be less people on the payroll to take care of the same amount of customers because they're saving that transaction time at the end of every transaction. So making sure that experience is really great and then making sure the user social experience of finding their friends, interacting and opening and closing their tab is great. So it's been a fun process.
It is. And you know, when the product goes out and when it becomes successful and we are all busy celebrating the journey that we are going through for Tabby, these podcasts, these sessions, this was what would be a nostalgia for us. Like seeing how we went through the process, how we went through with the months of March, April, February, and then the product was rolled out and that's the success. So this would be a nostalgia for all of us involved into building this project. And it's always fun part of doing things. You know, it is something that we enjoy, the success of our customers, the success of doing things the way it needs to happen, and then making sure that we are there when you need us. So it's always great.
It's a fun personal journey too, because As a founder, you know, the old saying, most startups fail. And that's true. And most of them die from suicide, not homicide. Not literally, but figuratively.
Yeah, yeah.
In the sense of you just run out of gas. You just it's real, like starting a company, building a product, gaining product market fit is not easy. And then once you do that, you have to build a team and scale a product and scale a team. So I can see why most companies, most founders go, oh man, I'm tired. There's certain people crazy enough, and I think I'm crazy enough, which is in this case a good thing, because it's just there's not another option. There's nothing else I want to do but solve this problem. And I'm really excited to get this to market. But like you said, I'm really excited for the A3 Logic team and the Tabby team in the near future, once this is in the marketplace and we're growing, to all be together in the same place to have a celebration. And you know, we've especially the team, the product team, I've spent a lot of time with them, right? There's calls on a daily basis and it's been a constant thing for a long period of time. So it'll be fun as we continue to grow and scale to the world. I mean, there's really no limitations on what Tabby could do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as you said, like, you know, it the limitations on a product would be imposed by a founder or a co-founder, like how quickly they want to go or how they want to roll it out. And they have a plan for it. They have a roadmap. They have a features. They decide what the MVP is going to be. And trust me, defining your MVP is the toughest part. Like you said, you know that you have to build a car, but you can't roll out a single wheel. You can't roll out just the seats. You just can't do it. So it's always, you know, the most difficult part of defining what that MVP could be, to make sure that you get the additional round of funding, to make sure that the product still makes enough sense so that you could demonstrate that what it could do in the long term, it's achieving. And it could demonstrate that. So just defining those right features, it's a nightmare. It takes a while to define that MVP. And once that is out, then obviously everything rolls out for you.
Well, and it's interesting as you're, you know, fundraising, balancing valuation, realistic valuation, so that, you know, for follow-on rounds, being strategic when it comes to equity and the amount raised and the runway you're planning. But it is defining the MVP. I think that the first version of Tabby in my head had about 30 features. And I could spend 30 minutes and walk through 100 more that Tabby right. could do. But it's really trying to narrow down and say, okay, let's fix one problem with three features and do a really good job at solving that problem with those key, maybe even just one feature that works really well and solves. Find 100 people that really love your product and you're on the way. And so that was, I think, the most helpful thing with A3 Logic was to take this kind of broad vision that I had for Tabby and sort of helping narrow down and define the product to say, okay, this is what we're going to do that looks really good and works really well to solve this one thing. Let's roll that out and then grow from there. And so A3 was very helpful in that sense.
Right. And yeah, I mean, as you said, like, this is the best approach to lay it out for your users, because if you could find 100 people who are able to use it in the most efficient manner, those 100 are going to write about it on Facebook, on Twitter, on every other handle about there, and they're going to get 1,000 more. And that's how you grow. Marketing, doing our own featured videos, doing our own marketing on social media, doing a lot of commercials, they help. But nothing helps more than a real customer. Like, I can vouch for you on that. Yeah. Like, you know, one real customer, they get me so many references. Our marketing will never be able to get a turnaround or a closure of that lead in such a quick time. If I will start a new customer journey, it's going to take months before I close them. But if I get a referral from you, Brad, I think I'm going to close that pretty soon, because you would be vouching for us, or the other customers would be vouching for us. So that's the beauty of it when it comes to customers.
Yeah. So it's interesting. And Tabby could really become a platform in the sense of marketing to people the way they want to be marketed to. And what I mean by that, you know, I spent years in restaurant operations. So I understand the problem that we're solving for the service industry. Really, I really deeply understand that problem. What I also understand is there's a top line of a P&L and a bottom line of a P&L. And the most expensive thing in a restaurant is an empty seat. And as the restaurant industry is coming out of the pandemic and starting to gain momentum again, the businesses that survived figured out how to get people to come to their restaurant, provided good service and good quality product and a good experience. So it's interesting that, you know, Tabby may be able to market to people in a way they want to be marketed to. Just like a referral, in the sense of a referral, if I came to your hometown and was going to go to a restaurant, I could rely on random Yelp reviews, or because you and I are friends on Tabby, I can go to your favorite places and I trust your opinion much more than I do Yelp, because we have a personal connection and understand that we right. like the same things and so forth. So it's interesting that they're going to be able to connect with brands in a different layer.
And that's very well said. That's, you know, even in real life, what we do when we go out before Tabby, what we would be doing. Like, if I will be going out to a new city, I'll ask you, like, do you know somebody in that city? I'm going to go out there for a week or two. I'll be laying low for 5 days, but the weekend, I will pretty much be, my meetings are all done and I need a place to, you know, have some fun. And then if you have somebody or if you have a recommendations, obviously I'm going to go there. So that's the thing we would be doing before Tabby as well. So if Tabby helps me doing that or achieve that in a quicker way, or it also helps me find those people when I'm going to a newer place, that's all the more better, right? I mean, that's what I'm looking to solve, right? That's what I'm trying to achieve. And if an application helps me do that, I'm going to rely on it. And look about all those frequent travelers, all those marketing people, all those people who are on the road all the time, and they are having their work at the day, and then they are looking for a place to crash, or they're looking to go to a new bar in a new city, and they could use it more often than many of us otherwise.
The barrier of entry of all these companies that we use on a daily basis was always huge prior to, I mean, I look at, and I like how you say before Tabby, that's really, I mean, that's going to be a thing. Imagine life before Uber. Imagine life before Airbnb. Imagine life before the iPhone and before Google Maps and before all those things. I have, you know, looking at Travis Kalanick convinced people that they would ride in a stranger's car. That's crazy. Like,
and it's safe, right? I mean, not just ride, and it's safe to ride with them.
Yeah.
And trust me, like, you know, when he first started, people were not ready to ride on that car because he was doing it for free.
When's the last time you rode a yellow cab?
No, I mean, I can't remember. I can't even remember that, right? I mean, it's been such a long time. And there was an interesting case study. It was published in Harvard. Uber was not hacking it initially. Like, it was offering people free rides and nobody was willing to take it. Like, you know, they were afraid that somebody's going to take them in the middle of nowhere and mug them. So they were not sitting in that car. And then something changed and they had a behavioral analyst with them. And he simply said that you ask them if they refer somebody else, then they could ride for free. Otherwise, they will be required to pay an amount of money. And that changed everything for them. Now people were more than happy to ride with them because they now know that they are charging. So that means they are the regular cab that they were taking every day to their places. So it all worked out. So, you know, interesting ways in which the behavioral science works.
The craziest is by far the psychology of Airbnb. I mean, that's the craziest idea that actually worked. You know, the way Brian decided, I mean, it was literally airbeds and breakfast in people's house. Right. You mean to tell me that people are going to pay to stay in somebody else's house? Like, most people
and
would
they
have
love
passed.
It.
Yeah.
Love it. And they love it. Like, you know, they
I
love it.
I couldn't tell you the last time that I stayed in a hotel.
Yeah, I visited a few places and I always stayed with Airbnb. And the reason for that is simple. I don't have the crowd. I'm staying with the people I like. I don't have to face so many people when I'm trying to take a breakfast. And when I'm trying to have a private moment here with my family and I want to have a conversation, I don't have to be worried about sitting in the garden because nobody else is around us. It's just me. Yeah. And I have that house. And it just gives you the feeling of home away from home. And that's where they win. It marketed it around that and then home away from home and everything. And it all worked out. So you just have to work around that idea. You have to play around a little bit. And if you are crazy enough, you will find what your users are looking into your product. Like we were thinking that this will solve 5 problems. And then somehow the user would find out there is a 6th problem that even we didn't see. And it's solving it. Yeah. And then we will have to build this application completely around that. And that's how success comes to you. Many ways.
There's a lot of people that feel like there's no ideas or problems. Just like it becomes part of your lifestyle where you just see problems. I'm at this point, I've identified more problems that I have that I could build a solution for. I just don't have the time. That now I know why people, continue to work even after they sell a company is if I sold Tabby today or in the future, I'm going to go build something else because I need to solve the problem for myself.
Indeed. I mean, that should be a full-time hobby. That is the full-time hobby of every founder. they just can't stop finding new ways to do things. Even, you know, even how many companies have you seen? They have just reinvented the thing that they were doing earlier and they have met huge success. They have not made any big differences. They're working in the same industry. They just made a little changes to what was happening before. The example could be the Hotmail, the Yahoo. They were all email service providers, right? And the Google as well. But the way they evolved, the way they added the suite of services and making it into a platform, that's how you do things simply and you defeat the competition. You just have to keep adding iterative features, incremental updates to keep your customer base waiting and to keep them on the, you know, on the waiting list that, yeah, something new is going to come up and it's going to make the application more awesome than it was before. So that is how you keep your customer base with you, you keep the loyalty with you, and then obviously you will always have to deliver. If you don't deliver, your customer base will not be loyal with you. So we have to deliver.
Well,
that's the biggest responsibility.
There has to be a true love to build things, or you just run out of gas. It's almost building things has got to be the fuel that keeps you going, I think, because as you know, I've already got, and I mean, this is good news for A3 Logic at this point, but I've already got the next year of Tabby built. It's sitting in a file, future files, having to narrow down the MVP and say, okay, this is the product we're going to build now. And it's obviously my job as the founder to kind of, with your help especially, is to kind of build that product roadmap and decide how we're going to roll the features out. I'm thinking about version 12 of Tabby, the brand marketing and the ability to communicate and really share in experiences with people around you. And once you start to see it, I'm just excited to see it in the wild. And you know, we're gonna put it out at the end of this month, and that's where we start. Is the starting line is once you go to market and start to really get your customers' feedback. So I'm excited.
Indeed. And we are all the more excited and fueled, you know, to get more done, to get more achieved. And this year, like, it's going to be a lot more things that we would be achieving together on this. So it's been a fun journey so far, and I'm pretty sure like we will continue to do that. And like you said, you need to have the love, the true love for building things, for doing the work that you are required to do. So, and that's how you get into the product line. If you don't have a love for them, you can't build for too long. You'll have to move to something else. That's just not possible.
For sure. Well, Devesh, this was fun. Glad we got to do it. We'll have to do this again. And eventually I look forward to all of us being together and celebrating the future successes of Tabby together. So
likewise.